Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious God, we just thank you for this day and for the joy of celebrating a baptism, of welcoming a child, your child, into the church officially, and just the joy that that brings us. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us here just to celebrate, just to hear a word from you this morning, this Sunday morning during Lent. Lord, we're all leading busy lives where we have things calling us in this and that direction, Lord, but where would you call us to go? What would you call us to hear? And so, God, we pray this morning that you would just speak to us in a way that can only be you, that we would know that we would hear your voice, maybe like we've never heard your voice before, and that you would give us confirmation on something we need confirmation on, that you would give us affirmation in our lives, that you would give us a hope for a future, or that you would just remind us that you're with us and that you will never leave us. Lord, give me the words, and don't let me get in your way, as I know I often do, but just help us all. We need you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all right, Finley? You okay? As I said before, Lent is a time of self-denial. It's a time of seeking the Lord more intentionally. And it's really about doing out of faith what Jesus calls us to do in the gospel passage today. It's really being intentional about that, taking up our crosses and following him. That discipleship aspect of the faith, which is really the whole aspect of the faith. To be a disciple is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a disciple of Christ. And if we're honest, we don't like the idea of that, because what that's really saying is what Jesus says later. He says that to lose your life, to find it, essentially. That somehow we're to lose our lives for him, to serve him, to find our lives in him. It's paradoxical, in a way. And if we're honest, faith causes us to do some crazy things sometimes. Things that other people would look at us and say, "What are you doing? You're throwing your whole life away." But faith transforms us all by God's grace. The real thing, though, is we need to be ready to move. The real idea is that we need to be ready to move when God calls us to do so. We saw in today's Old Testament passage, Abram and Sarai, that they were called to move. They weren't called to stay. Hear that? They weren't called to stay where they were and their, you know, where they knew everybody, but they were actually called to move, to go somewhere else. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, God called Abram to go to the land of Canaan and promised that it would be his. That was a promise. Of course, that means that God called Abram to leave the land of his father, everything that he knew, all the people that he knew. But his father was Terah. Terah, the descendant of Shem, who was the son, one of the sons of Noah, who we talked about last week. There's a clear lineage there. And so Abram is called to leave everything he knew and almost everyone he knew for a promised land, a promise of God. And they went. Abram, Sarai, Lot, their household, and they went through an act of faith. And through that, we can see what Jesus calls us as disciples to do. They died to everything that they knew. To everything that they thought they knew, too, because there's a lot of things that we think we know, too, don't we? And they let God lead them, all based on a promise. They lost their lives as they knew them to follow God into this promised land. And what happened when they did that? Well, it took some time, but they eventually received and are still receiving the benefits of this promise today. They went. And they eventually had a child that God promised to them in Genesis 17. A promised child. born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There it is. And that promised child, Isaac, would receive the same promise anew, and the world would be blessed through him. All because of a promise, lives were transformed. The world was transformed. In fact, the promise is still being fulfilled today, because we who follow Jesus are heirs to that promise, according to the Apostle Paul. We're not just children of God, but we're heirs, according to Romans 8, verses 16 through 17. And that it's all by faith in Christ that we could be considered heirs, all through God's grace, not our own doing, but because of God. And so God's promise is still being delivered on. And of course, that's a summary that is all too succinctly done. There's so much more to this. But the key here is that a new covenant was established, a new promise was made, building on the previous promise that we talked about with Noah last week. A covenant was established with Abram and Sarai. You notice in that second half of that passage in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 17 is that God mentions Sarai by name and gives her a new name. And so God covenanted with Abram and Sarai, man and woman, through God's promise and by grace, by their faith. And through all of that, they were transformed. They were made new people. They were no longer just Abram and Sarai, the son of Terah and his wife, but they are now Abraham and Sarah, the father and mother of many nations. And so why does that matter? Really, why does that matter? Do you ever find yourself reading the scriptures and think, well, why does this matter? That's what we're called to do. We're called to ask, why does this matter? And so this matters, one, because many of us forget who we are. I've said this before, but we forget who we are. We forget ourselves. We forget who we are rooted in. It's not just that I am Chris and that you're Norris or you're Kathy or whoever. It's not just that. You probably don't forget who you are. Maybe some days we all do, right? But you probably don't. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's that your identity is in Christ. You forget that. We forget that. I forget that. That if you have faith to step out and to go where God will call you to, then you are an heir to the promise and you're ready to receive that good news that comes with it. You're ready to be a part of something bigger than yourself. In fact, through your baptism, through your belief, through your faith, you already are something, a part of something bigger than yourself. You're a part of the body of Christ. Your identity is in Christ. So remember your name, Christian. This passage also matters because if you are a Christian, of course, your identity is in Christ. But not only that, you have been transformed. Like Abraham, like Sarah, you're a new creation, as Paul says. If you put your trust in Christ, if you believe in him, if you have had the faith to step out and do that, you might feel nothing. I mean, sometimes we see on TV or wherever that you're supposed to feel this thing all the time, that life is supposed to be great. It's not. It's still hard. But something has happened in you. You have changed. You have transformed. Christianity isn't about feeling good all the time, but it's about a freedom in Christ. And freedom to love because Christ loved us first. That's what our new life brings. That's we've been set free and we've been transformed to follow God where God would call us to go and to love others as God loved us. If you're a Christian, you've been set free. So know that you have been transformed as well, Christian. And finally, don't use your transformation and your freedom for yourself. This is a key one that we often forget about. Your freedom and your transformation, your new life is not for yourself. But it's like Abraham and Sarah. It's time for you in Christ to give birth to more who would also receive God's promise of new life. And when we think about that, we think about our own children, right? Some of us. It could be that. But it could also be that neighbor you have. It could also be that coworker, that person you meet at Kohl's. I always reference Kohl's. I wonder why that is. But it could be. It's not about right timing in your sense, but it's about right timing in God's sense. It's about offering that word of encouragement at just the right time, that you just hear this voice inside your head saying, you know, just say something nice to that person. Do it. You don't know what that can do. That can transform a person's day. And that's what God calls us to do. You're called to give birth to others who would be given new names, transformed like you and set free for God to transform others too. And it all happens through faith. And that means that when God calls you, it's time to go, whatever that looks like. It looks different for everybody. Because we're all a part of the body, but we have many different parts, many different roles. And so that calling to go looks different for each of us. But we all work together in Christ. Step out, journey, move into the unknown, trusting that God is with you and God wants to give you all the promises that he made to those before you. Because he wants to. But first, you have to be willing to pick up your cross and to follow him, which means that you have to be willing to die to yourself, as Jesus said, as Abraham and Sarah did. To let go of your own name, your own ways, your own thoughts, and be given a new life, being transformed into the new creation that God has called you to be in Christ. And the only way you can do that is by God's grace. But God offers that to all of us. And so I pray that you would just receive that grace anew today. Step out. See where God wants you to go. Transform some lives. Not for your purpose, but for God's. And God is love. So remember that. Be ready to move. Amen.